Welcome to Curiosity Capsule, an interview series exploring how scientific curiosity serves as an engine for developments in science and engineering, and showcasing how inquisitiveness preludes intelligence. We are honored to be joined today by Dr. Milica Radišić, a Serbian-Canadian tissue engineer and researcher. Dr. Radišić is a professor at the University of Toronto and the Canada Research Chair in Functional Cardiovascular Tissue Engineering. Her research aims to enable cardiovascular regeneration through the development of new biomaterials. Dr. Radišić, thank you so much for joining us today for the first Curiosity Capsule on Beats Research Radio. So Dr. Radišić, what are some of your roles and responsibilities as a professor and researcher at the University of Toronto?
So thank you very much, Anna, for the opportunity to be here today. So I would say my number one responsibility is to work with graduate students and postdocs and together to develop new research projects that lead to discoveries and new technologies. And so that's where I spend most of my time, and also obviously to teach undergraduate and graduate students, to write numerous research grants to keep all of our projects funded. And I think that's something that probably most of the people who are not in this line of work, they don't appreciate the fact that everything is fueled by the research grants that we are raising ourselves from various sources. And lastly, you know, there are also numerous service duties that include writing letters for graduate students, undergraduate students, other professors, serving on various committees and panels. So it's a very challenging and demanding, but interesting profession.
I see, that's very interesting to hear about. And can you tell us about your eureka moment, a moment during your research where you experienced a sudden triumphant discovery, inspiration, or insight?
So usually eureka doesn't happen very often, right? And I think the advancing in research is usually a combination of slow steps and sometimes painstaking repetition to confirm that certain finding is correct or not correct. And I would say one, to me, maybe during my PhD when I was a graduate student, a eureka moment was when I was pacing cardiac tissues that we created from collagen scaffolds and cells like neonatal rat cardiomyocytes. And I saw that when I'm testing them, I'm pacing them, they beat so well. And then I said, well, why don't I just pace them all the time, right, during culture? And that technique really proved out to be very important and transformative in our ability to assemble the tissue from cell, as well as to mature cardiomyocytes that are derived from stem cells. So maybe that's an example of eureka moment, but a lot of it is really a careful planning and reading the background literature and repeating the experiments appropriate number of times.
Right, so you would say that science is more of a slow build rather than a big, sudden, overnight explosion, right?
Yes, so I think there is obviously discussion amongst colleagues and discussion amongst students and a professor help to nail down the research direction and the big question, like what is important, what's that big question? But really to make it work and to prove your answer or that your hypothesis is either correct or not correct, it's a series of very well-planned experiments that have to have appropriate controls that really, you know, have to be thorough enough for you to be certain about the answer.
Yeah, that's so insightful. Thank you so much for sharing. So in addition to your groundbreaking work as a scientist in bioengineering, I understand that you're also an entrepreneur. Can you elaborate on your experience co-founding Terra Biosystems, a biotechnology company that engineers predictive in vitro human cardiac tissue models?
Yes, thanks. So I co-founded two companies. One of them is Terra Biosystems and the other one is Cutera Inc. And Terra Biosystems got started in 2014 and with this desire to spin out the use of our tissues, engineered heart tissues for drug testing and discovery of new drugs. And Obviously, that process requires working with entrepreneurs, other entrepreneurs, and people who experience in business, because technology is just one aspect of a company. Many other things are quite complex that involve not just raising funds, but also setting up the structure, recruiting the best people, understanding sometimes the regulatory landscape, what is needed to bring your product to the market, and how to attract the customers, right? So technology is just one piece of that. And, you know, the technology has to be validated so that it works. And then that's why we carry out all of those large numbers of painstaking experiments. But at the translation stage, I think it's really important to surround yourself with people who have done this before, who have experience, and who understand this journey from technology all the way to bringing something to the market.
Yeah, for sure. It's really interesting being able to integrate scientific research and, you know, its practical application and widespread implementation. So lastly, what is your vision for the future of biomaterials engineering in Canada and beyond?
Oh, that's the best question, right? What is the future going to bring? And obviously, what we can see now in the biomaterials field, right? We are working with more and more functionalized biomaterials. There was obviously a long time where people were trying to make inert biomaterials so they're easy to translate, right? So for regulatory agencies, it's going to be easier for them to give you approval to use something that's inert in humans before it doesn't interact with human body. Then with something that interacts with the human body, you have to do a lot more many tests to understand the nature and the extent of these interactions. But right now, it's pretty clear that inert biomaterials can only take us a certain way. Obviously, you know, in my lab and many other labs, people are now thinking and working with biomaterials that incorporate bioactive molecules, and very often molecules that are derived from the human body ourselves. So we work with this molecule called itaconic acid that we can incorporate into biomaterials, create polymers based on it. And those polymers then act as immunomodulatory materials, right? They won't elicit inflammation as much as materials that don't have this molecule. And this molecule in the body is secreted by macrophages to actually attenuate this inflammatory response and to help the body fight off bacteria. So we definitely see this trend of taking bioactive molecules and making biomaterials out of it. Also using materials that are made up of physical components, right? That are not bulk, but they could be made out of droplets or many other building blocks, because that gives them additional properties that the bulk materials don't have, such as ability to process them in a certain way. And obviously 3D printing with biomaterials to create different shapes is something that we and others are working on as well. And creating a large span of electrically conductive biomaterials that are now particularly important when combined with wearables, because they enable us to either monitor or stimulate human tissues on demand. So I think that's where in the next, you know, decade or so, the research in biomaterials will be going.
Amazing. Once again, we are so grateful to you, Dr. Radishich, for taking the time to share your experience with us today. Your pioneering efforts in biomedical engineering truly exemplify the importance of scientific curiosity. So thank you to all our viewers for tuning in to today's Curiosity Capsule with Dr. Milica Radishich. Join us next week for another episode of Beats Research Radio, and remember to stay curious.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Yes. Thank you very much. It was really nice meeting you.